You're listening to Social 545, where we discuss what's trending in social media and interview weekly guests. Now, here are your hosts, Saba Siddiqui and Carlos Gill.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 6 of Social 545. I'm here with my co-host, Carlos Gill, and we have an exciting guest with us today. We have Mr. John Ferrara. I hope I said that right.
Yes, perfect.
Perfect. Awesome. So as many of you probably already know, he pioneered CRM as well as founded Nimble, which is a CRM tool for social. So we're going to get into the trenches, talk to him about social selling, customer service, social media, all things social. And we're super excited. So, John, anything that I missed that you would like to add before we get started?
You know, ultimately, I think that what we're all talking about transcends the idea of social or internet. It's about people, people connecting with people. And I often have said that I've learned more about relationships and people by spending 8 years as a present and connected father and husband than I did in the previous 40 years as an entrepreneur. And so I'd like to start this whole talk out by saying why we're on this planet. We're on this planet to grow our souls and help other people grow theirs. And we do that by being present with other human beings, by sharing our passion, plans, and purpose. And through that conversation, through that vibration, we power each other to succeed. In the end, that's all we leave the planet with are those connections and those vibrations. And so as much as you can, connect, be present, and power other people forward. And that's, I think, what we're all talking about. So yeah, they talk about social and social CRM and social selling, but not too long from now, social is going to go the way of the dinosaur, and it's just going to get back to people connecting with people.
Yeah, absolutely, John. You know, really excited to have you here on Social 545. Just first want to say thank you to all of our viewers watching us on Blab here today. So John, let's get right into it. You are really a pioneer in the CRM space, very well known in the social selling space. For those folks watching or even listening to us on iTunes that aren't familiar with your background, how about you tell us who is John Ferrara and tell us how you came to start this great company that you own, which is known as Nimble?
Well, first off, I don't own Nimble. You guys all own Nimble because you guys all helped create it. Nimble was some notes in my head that I started to feel as I started to swim in the social river, and I saw the immense power of social and how it's going to change the way we work and play and how companies build their brand and how customers make buying decisions. And I started to look for a tool for myself to be able to manage my relationships and the interactions I was having with them on social. And so I couldn't find a tool that integrated contacts and social. So then I started looking around. I saw that CRM systems not only didn't integrate social, but they weren't even about relationships. CRM should really stand for customer reporting management, not customer relationship management, because nobody manages a relationship in a CRM. They feed it so management can run reports. We manage our relationships wherever we're having conversations with customers. And in the old days, that was email, phone, and fax. And today, it's Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram, Foursquare, Google+, Crunchbase, AngelList, Blob, Blab, etc. So I envisioned that we needed a platform that worked for us rather than us working for our CRM, a platform that worked for us by building the relationship platform for us from the data that's already there. And the most important data you have are the contacts you're connecting to, the conversations you're having, the activities that you're driving from that. That's Outlook, Address Book, or Google Contacts, contact calendar, and communication, and the social listening and engagement. So I started to build a platform for that. People called that social CRM. I call it basic business. So not only did we pioneer CRM back in the day with Goldmine, I believe that we reimagined relationship management by pioneering what people call social CRM. But I don't like the word social, and I don't like the word CRM, because I think that we used to call things internet this, eToys, iContact. Nobody talks about the internet anymore. Nobody's going to talk about social in the future. Right. It's just basic business.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, and full disclosure, I work in social media. It's what I do for a living. However, I don't like the term social in social media, because one thing that's been lost, honestly, is the socializing aspect. I often say that social media, it's not about advertising. It's not about marketing. It's about relationship building at the core. Social media really being the gateway to connect buyers with sellers to really help bridge and build that relationship. And, you know, very much to your point, you don't call a billboard outdoor media. You don't call that flyer that you get in the mail print marketing or print media. You call it what it is. And again, I think as this evolves, social media as we know it to the core, Twitter, Facebook, what have you, it's going to be known as marketing or an advertising platform.
I don't even like the idea of marketing and advertising. I think it's about conversation, content, conversation, and community. So I believe that all these channels are there for us to connect. And so I think that if you're going to connect in social media, that you should connect by inspiring and educating other people about how you can help them become better, smarter, faster. If you think about it, there's a digital river running by your business on a daily basis. I call that the social river. And what you want to do is you want to engage in that river to connect with other swimmers. And I engage that river by sharing content to inspire and educate other people about how I can help them grow. And the people who share my passion, plan, and purpose connect and reach out, and we build these connections and conversations that I hope results in a pay it forward relationship that ends up in some mutually beneficial outcome, which isn't the sale always. It could be me helping them and them helping me in some other measurable way.
Yeah, that's a good point. I also I want to talk about a little bit kind of engaging real time, because I think there's so many people that kind of look at social and how do I manage this, right? Everyone's thinking about how they can streamline with tools. And I think Carlos and I talked about this morning, right? It's like the easiest thing you can go do is go read a couple of the tweets that were sent by people that you follow and actually just comment, right? It's not even about curating and making sure that you're constantly putting out things and these links are really pretty and you're shortening things. It can go such a long way to just engage. And I think sometimes we forget. We get so lost in the tools and the management products that people are trying to sell us that we forget that if we just go and we talk to people, we're going to see enormous growth. And that's one thing a lot of people ask me is, how did you start your Twitter in February and have over 2,000 people following you? And you have visibility that I was trying to get for 2-3 years. And I said, I just took the time and talked to everyone. That's how I met Carlos. That's how, I mean, you and I just met in person, but that's how I met Mitch Jackson and so many other people in my community. So I think I like what you're talking about, how just bringing it back to the basics of conversation and connection, because that's really how you build
John Wooden said it best, the famous coach of the UCLA basketball dynasty, it's the basics that wins games. And we all sort of forget about these basics. And if you can imagine John Ferrara, the dad who hasn't been in technology for 8 years, how did I go from an idea of Nimble to transforming it not only into a global company, but also to rebuild my own brand? Because nobody remembered Goldmine or who I was. And the way I built my brand was I identified key people in and around the areas of promise of my products and services, and reached out and built a pay forward relationship by sharing their content and then engaging with the people that bit on that, including them and their community. So in other words, if I'm building a product that helps people with their sales, marketing, social media, entrepreneurships, just go find people like that and share their content and then engage with them and their networks and the community at large who are inspired by that. And so it's a simple idea. What you just said is how you've built your brands up. And anybody listening today can build a sustainable community around their business that will help them grow. And what I mean by that is don't focus on prospects and customers, and don't focus on selling. Focus on identifying people around you that are include prospects and customers, but also their influencers and other people that can help you build a community around you. At Nimble, we focus on editors, analysts, bloggers, influencers, third-party developers, investors, advisors, and prospects and customers. And we do that not just through our Nimble brand, but through each of our team members, because I believe a company brand is built not just on the marketing team, but all the people in the company sharing content to inspire and educate and then engage the people around their company in order to build that company brand. What do you guys think?
I completely agree.
I want to actually, do you guys hear that echo?
Yeah, I hear.
I hear a little bit of it.
Yeah, I can hear an echo. I don't know why. I wanted to highlight one of the comments in the chat here, and I really appreciate everyone chiming in. If you guys have any questions, please put it in there, and I'll make sure to ask John. Alex says, social media feeds off live media. People are sharing face-to-face experiences and real-time engagement on social media. That feeds FOMO, fear of missing out, which builds demands for more live experiences. You can't have one without the other. And I think that's one of the main reasons that Blab has been able to kind of catch the eye of so many influencers in the social media space. And although we have so many platforms that we have readily available to us, I think the sort of virality and the addiction that we have to this platform is that we get to have real conversations real time, and you guys can ask your questions, right?
Yeah, I absolutely agree that that real-time conversations are very powerful, where people can jump in just like Bryn did, just like Mia did. We've got Mitch Jackson and other people on the chat going on here, and that's really powerful. But I also believe that the conversations that occur, that you put things in your stream and then you can interact with those people at your leisure, is extremely powerful as well. And what I think people forget is people who are getting into social start thinking that LinkedIn is the place for your brand and identity and your connections. Mm-hmm. And for me, you can't understand who somebody is on one dimension. You need to understand who they are across multiple dimensions. Mm-hmm. And so if you guys are thinking about how you go out there and build your brand and grow your network, yes, Blab is friggin' amazing. In fact, I told my friend to buy it. LinkedIn is a powerful place for your identity. But if you want to connect with other human beings, you need to share your heart and soul. You need to open up a little bit of yourself, share your personality, and then connect on your areas of commonality to build the intimacy and trust you need to build this community around you. And so I find Instagram and Facebook to be powerful places to share that kind of stuff too.
Yeah, so I'm going to share my social selling strategy with all of you guys. So I started up a business back in 2008 called Jobs Direct USA. And I started up this company during the recession using LinkedIn primarily. And the way that I was able to really grow and scale the business was using LinkedIn as a business directory almost exclusively. And the same principles still apply. You can use LinkedIn. It's the world's largest business social network with over 360 million members. You can use it to pretty much find anyone that you want to do business with. But the actual networking, the relationship building doesn't happen exclusively on LinkedIn, to your point, John. It happens on the other channels. And you have to go outside the box. You have to really have a multi-channel sales strategy or relationship building strategy. And the way that I was able to grow my business and encourage others to sell is use Twitter to actually learn about your prospects. You can have open conversations on there. You can see what their interests are. You can see what they're talking about. But the real game changer, in my opinion, is Facebook. And the reason why I've evangelized Facebook throughout the years, and I open up my Facebook to everyone in my business network, is because on Facebook is really where you can get to know someone as an individual. You get to see how they are outside of the office. You get to see their family. You get to really know who they are behind the curtain. And I like to call Facebook, in the context of social media and social selling, the hotel lobby bar. So think of when you go to a conference. Where do the business deals get done? At the hotel lobby bar over drinks, right? It's typically there where people feel the most comfortable. And if you think of Facebook in that manner, and I could show you guys my inbox right now on Facebook, that is where I'm having prime time networking.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Carlos. But I think telling stories is a great way to describe and have people remember. That's why I like the fact that you talked about it being the lobby bar. And I talk about it this way. I say that LinkedIn is like walking into my lobby and you're going to get to know my business side. That Twitter is like going on a walk with me. Yep. So you essentially can start to begin to understand who I am. And Facebook is like going home to dinner with me, because ultimately it's really getting to know my personality. But you know what? You can't just stop there, you guys. You got to take a look at somebody's Instagram, because a picture tells 1,000 words. And if you want to know John Ferrara, If you want to know how to connect with me on areas of our common passion, plan, and purpose, go look at my Instagram. You're going to know immediately what it is that drives me on a daily basis. And so that's why we need tools that will automatically build a record for you, because it's too much work to Google somebody before a meeting. But you should. You should Google them. You should nimble them before a meeting, the day before, and understand who they are across all their identities and begin to add value to the conversation. And do not ever, ever, ever reach out to anybody with a generic LinkedIn invite, because it shows that you haven't taken the time right to understand who they are, why you're connecting, and how you might add value to each other. And then the worst sin ever is to connect with anybody in any way and not follow up and follow through, because relationships are not scalps. Relationships are about finding people that matter, reaching out and building relevant and authentic, pay it forward connections. And it takes work to do that, right? It takes work.
Agreed. I think the word relationship, honestly, is very much misunderstood and misused nowadays. And let's put it into context. Connecting with someone on LinkedIn does not mean that you have a relationship with that individual. Even being friends on Facebook doesn't mean that you have a relationship. Doing what we're doing, actually taking the time to engage with each other, is what goes into building a relationship. Pinging someone, asking them, how can you help them? Offering to go offline and meet them for coffee or engage by phone. That's how you build a relationship. And I tell you, it takes time. You know, I'm sure you can attest to that, John and Saba, same thing. It takes time. Relationships are not built overnight. So for anyone that thinks that they work in sales or marketing, or they have a small business and they're going to just get onto social media and connect with people on LinkedIn, and that's going to resonate into an increase in deals closed. Sorry,
I think that relationships are about intimacy and trust. And it takes time to earn somebody's trust and to build intimacy, and that you need to stay connected on an ongoing basis to continue to earn and keep that intimacy and trust. And ultimately, when you have a real relationship with another person, you can feel it. They make you tingle in a way. There is a connection that happens that you can feel in your soul and in your heart. And for people that I've connected to throughout my life, I cannot see them for 10 years and I could connect to them in some way, whether it's directly or indirectly through the phone or whatever. And that connection is still there. That to me is a relationship, and it's not about money at all. Money means nothing in this world. What really means is the moment you're present with other people, and that's it. And so wherever you are in this world, make sure that you're present, you're connected, and you're finding ways to add value to that person. And that's why I love the fact that you talk about using Twitter, Saba, to do that, because it's the easiest way to walk in somebody's digital footprint and do that.
Yeah, and I loved your point about Instagram, right? Because I think it's
Can you guys hear the echo?
I can't hear it.
Oh, I think it went away. All right. This is happening to me all day. I don't know why. What I was going to say is I think it's really important to go on Instagram, because one thing that I always do is I always tell everyone, you know, what my Twitter profile is and what my Blab profile is and what my Periscope is. And usually I don't push out my Instagram as much because it's more personal. It's public. It's there, but I don't push it out, right? It's the same handle for all of my accounts. But the person who takes the time to go look at my Instagram and see what a foodie I am, how much I love sunsets, how much I love living in California, that's the person who's going to be able to engage with me and just, you know, tweet me and say, oh, you know, there's actually a really great restaurant in your area. You should go check it out, right? Automatically, I'm going to know, wow, they've taken the time, and that has a lot of value. I want to transition the conversation a little bit to brands and sort of companies who are looking to use Twitter for customer service. They are looking to leverage social selling, and they already have something. They have a product that they're pushing out, but how can they cater to that the customer side, right? How do they build those relationships? Because there might be some brands listening. I know we have a few in the chat today. So what would you say to them, John, about customer service on social?
Well, the number one thing I'd say about companies and social is don't talk about your products or your company. Talk about how you can help people become better, smarter, faster. If you teach people to fish, yes, they'll figure out yourself fishing poles. And so nobody cares about your products and services. They care about themselves. How can you help them grow? And so I also believe that a company brand is made on the promises you make and the experiences that you deliver. So you need to align the promises to the experiences, and you need to empower your customer-facing team members to be able to deliver delight across every interaction point. You can't simply market on social media. You need to use social media to walk in your customer's digital footprint, add value to their journey, help them to make those decisions better, smarter, faster, so that when they think of your products or services, they think of you as a trusted advisor and not a salesperson. And so if you want to learn about how to do all this, read McKinsey Customer Journey. It's a study that talks about the digital journey of the new customer, and it will explain how people make buying decisions and how you can work with them through those buying decisions. And I'm going to tell a story about how I bought my last TV set. And what I need to do is, we lost my light. The sun went down.
Your glow's back.
There I am. So, so I had this Sony TV that started to die, and I needed to buy a new one because it was getting too dim. And I wasn't going to buy another Sony TV because my last two died. And I started to do some research. I didn't go to a store. I didn't read any marketing material. I started reading people's feedback, influencers, blog posts, and our Amazon reviews to make a decision about what I was going to buy. And then once I decided on the ideas of what size and all the detail, I went to a store to look at them, because you got to look at TVs. In the process of doing all that studying, I figured out that the best TV for the size and model type I wanted was a Sony. And I didn't want to buy it, but I bought it. And even after I bought it, I continued to do research to support my decision process. And in the customer journey, they talk about all of this. It's the trigger that makes you start doing the search, the way you do search and how you make the decision. And then after you buy, the reinforcement of the decision. And then finally, the decision to buy again or tell your friends. And for a company today, it's not about marketing and prospects and customers. It's about inspiring and educating people about how you can help them be better, smarter, faster, them seeing you as a trusted advisor. So when they make a buying decision, they recommend you, or they make a decision on you and they tell their friends. And then after the buy, to be able to reinforce and support them on that journey. And if you can align the promises you make to the experience you deliver and empower your entire key customer-facing team members to be inspiring and educating along that customer journey, you can't help but win.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. Yeah, I think the greatest benefit that brands get by being on social media is the ability to listen. And it's something that so many brands miss out on, because you're constantly hearing about content marketing and content is king. But let's face it, as consumers, tell me, when was the last time that you went on Twitter, you went on Facebook to see a brand's ad, right? That's not the purpose for utilizing social media for most people, right? So I think what brands, where they really fail in their strategy is by really focusing on the community, listening to what their existing customers are talking about and what prospective customers are. So to your point with Sony, if you would have gone on Twitter and you would have done a tweet for, hey, friends, I'm thinking about buying a TV. And all of a sudden, Sony, who else is in the market? LG and another brand send you a tweet and say, hey, by the way, we have this deal at Best Buy. I can almost assure you as a customer, you would probably feel compelled to at least consider their brand.
I'm thinking about that. And if I haven't made a decision about what I wanted, I don't care about a discount. And I'd rather hear about that technology from a friend or a trusted advisor than from the brand itself. And so I think rather than tweeting me a discount, I'd rather them say something about, here are some resources for you to do your your evaluation and then to send me to a third party site where there is some a mix of opinions. And maybe that site actually recommends them, but at least it's recommending third party stuff. But I actually thought of a story about digital CustServe that happened to me this morning. So I love to listen in the stream and see where people are talking about the areas of promise of our products and services. And today, some guy from Berlin tweeted, I'm thinking about a new CRM and thinking about Sugar and Nimble. And so what I did was I made a video for the guy. I used the Twitter stream. I brought up the Nimble widget. I nimbled him. I built a record. And I showed how Nimble can help him do this type of relationship stuff. And then I showed him Nimble inside of Sugar, where Nimble actually can actually either be a CRM or work within Sugar. The guy was so delighted the fact that I reached out and made this video and showed him that he could either use Nimble as a CRM, or if he decides he wants to use a legacy CRM like Sugar or Salesforce, that will work within it. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's not just customer service people that should be listening and engaging. I think that your whole team needs to be part of these conversations. And I know it's hard and I know it's work to do that. But if a CEO can do that on a daily basis, anybody can.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. And I see your point, you know, but let's go ahead and let's play devil's advocate for a moment. Most CEOs at brands, though, they're not monitoring what's being said. Most CMOs, they're depending on lower level to mid-level management to report back to them. And quite frankly, if mid-level management is not putting emphasis on building community because at the end of the day, it's all about sales, then that goes back to my earlier point. They're missing the boat on the value that social
media offers
for their brand.
One of the things I used to do at Goldmine is I'd go and sit in the customer service department and I take calls, because if you can't hear where your customers are cutting themselves on the edges of your product, then how can you make decisions? If you rely 100% on reports or anything else, and you as a business leader are not getting in the trenches with your team, with your customers, and understanding their journey, how can you ever make sure that you're getting them the resources that they need to succeed? And so if there's any business leaders out there listening today who don't take the time to participate in their customer journey directly, you're missing out on a wonderful opportunity to get feedback that can help you and your team and your company yes. grow.
Yes, absolutely. And in addition to that, I just want to build, if you are a mid-level manager who is trying to sell the value of social media for your organization, ensure that you are getting on the radar with your C-level executives. Send them screenshots. Show them tweets from your followers in which they're either praising your brand or knocking down your brand, because all that's going to do is just raise
the
overall
awareness.
You know,
that reminds me of a story. So back in the day when the internet first started happening, companies would lock their team members, they call them employees at some places, out of the browser. Can you believe that? So they weren't allowed to use a browser. Those same companies said, we don't need a website. We're a brick and mortar company. Our customers don't use the internet. You know, I got one word for you, Blockbuster.
And so, one of my favorite stories.
And so I really believe that companies that are afraid that aren't doing social today, in some cases, are afraid of it. I could tell you the story of a car dealership that fired a sales rep because they had a brand on social media that was bigger than the car dealership brand. They were selling five times as many cars as any of those sales reps on the lot. I could tell you stories of an analyst company, right, and I'm not going to name names, but it's one of the big ones in Boston in technology that would not let their analysts use social media because they're afraid of what they would do. I think the days of controlling what your team members are saying on social media will go away. That products like Hearsay will not be necessary because you don't have to monitor your team members when they're having conversations in social. Do you monitor what people say on the phone or in person with customers? Why the heck should you be doing it on social?
That's a very, very good point. I want to just thank everyone that's in the audience and that's been listening into us. We have an open seat. So if anyone wants to jump in, ask a question, chime into the conversation that we're having. I mean, it's so great. We have so many great comments that I want to highlight in the chat here. Actually, Mike dropped a lot of knowledge. I want to read what he said. The content and community voice from your brand should create a sustainable belief system that provides unarticulated, intangible emotional glue that attracts people, clients, and customers. Helps them feel like they belong to your brand. In this experience, the clients and customers become those brand champions for the company, which is absolute gold. Dropping knowledge in the chat. That's coming. He mentioned that it's coming out in his new book. So
it's so easy for brands. You know, I go out to eat with my family quite a bit to the Cheesecake Factory. And Cheesecake Factory, I'm going to use it as an example, because every time I check in on Swarm and share that experience on Twitter at Cheesecake, they are very fast to respond. And it makes me feel like a valued customer. And again, it's all about how you make people feel.
Carlos, I'm going to tell you another story. We named Goldmine after going to the Cheesecake Factory. My dad had nicknames.
Really? Wow.
He told this story when I saw him at the Founders Lounge.
My dad had nicknames for places that were making money hand over fist. He called those a gold mine. So Cupid's Hot Dogs, Tommy's, Pink's, Cheesecake Factory. You have people lining up the door outside of that restaurant because they love it so much. And so that was a gold mine. And so we're sitting there trying to figure out what to call this product that we just built. And I said, shit, that's a gold mine, because your customers are your gold mine. The more you put into your relationships, the more you'll get out. Gold mine was never a CRM. It was a relationship platform that was there to empower the customer facing business team members at your company. It wasn't for sales. It wasn't for prospects. It was for relationships. Everybody in your company is involved in the conversations and relationships around your business. If you're using a CRM and only focusing on prospects and customers and doing sales and marketing, you're missing out on the opportunity to build relationships with the influencers and the community around your customers. And so when you start thinking about a relationship platform, think about giving it to everybody in your company.
Absolutely. And that is so ironic, you know, with the Cheesecake Factory example. Again, you know, going back to my point, every time I go to Cheesecake Factory, they engage, I keep coming back, and their service is consistent, not only from a dining experience, but their service online is consistent. And that is something that more brands, they should really look at Cheesecake Factory as the golden standard. And, you know, I've had this conversation with people over the years. They say, you know, Carlos, you always want to feel entitled. You always want to feel special. Well, absolutely. If I am a customer who has many options and I'm spending money with you and I am going to the extent of promoting your brand to my social network, you're damn right. I want to feel special. Who doesn't?
And that goes back to, go ahead.
Go ahead, Tara. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that just goes back to so many of the businesses that have been able to use social media to build their brick and mortar business. And then businesses that have been around for 15, 10, even 5 years that don't understand the value. And then they ask me about the ROI of social media, which just kills me when I have to explain this to someone, is that they have been able to use Instagram to build 116,000 person community that loves to post their dessert. And this is actually a brick and mortar dessert place in Tustin. It's called After's Ice Cream. Everything from the store walls to the products that they sell you are so photogenic to make sure that you are going to post it and you are going to become an ambassador. They have reverse engineered their whole business model to make sure that it is for social media. It is for those influencers. It is for those foodies like me, right? So that is the impact it has. And it can take a business from 0 to 100. And the people who are not there, it could take their business from 100 to 0 really, really quickly.
So I have a friend of mine that sold his cosmetics company to Clarin or one of the big cosmetic companies. And the way he built the company was no advertising. What he did was he got the people who are using his products to make videos about them using the products and opening the boxes and putting the products on. And those videos were essentially went viral and made the marketing and built these this pool of evangelists around the product and was able to grow the company. And it's much the same way we built Nimble. So I don't know if you guys know it or not, but we've had over 100,000 people sign up for Nimble with over 7,000 companies paying us for the platform, 70,000 unique visitors per month on our website with no advertising. We have no marketing spend and we have no salespeople. So we're basically converting out of the 70,000, 10% to trial and 20% to paid without salespeople. Our marketing, our sales, and our support people are people like Mia, people like Brynn, people like Mitch Jackson, who are out there sharing our story with other people. And I'm so, so grateful for those people who are out there powering us to keep building this thing that powers them. And I think that's the future, the way all businesses will work.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned Mitch, Mia, you know, you're doing a great job building those relationships. And here's where I kind of want to bring this back around. So many people talk about social selling, leveraging social media. I like to believe that the principles are still the same. It's old school rules with new school technology. And what I mean by that is building relationships at scale, that's always been the truth. That's always been what you try to do in order to grow your business. All that has really changed in this whole equation is your social media, which makes it so much easier to prospect and actually connect with people instead of having to go out and network in person.
Well, I'm there 100% with you, Carlos. I look forward to the day when we stop talking about social selling because business...
Amen to that.
Business has always been social. People buy from people they like and they like people who know them. It's your job to understand who somebody is and what their business is about before you ever connect with them because service is the new sales. And so if your job is to be able to help people become better, smarter, faster at scale, to be set up as a trusted advisor, to help them grow, well, gosh, Zig Ziglar, Dale Carnegie, Napoleon Hill, Brian Tracy, Stephen Covey, all these people said the same things. And so social, the idea of doing business this way about relationships is not new. It's just that the way that you could do it at scale globally is. And so when you go to the faucet and turn the water on, do you think about the recirculation pipes and the plumbing and the heaters and all the things behind it? You don't think about it, do you?
I always think about it, John, all the time.
Okay, you go, Sava. You need to take a chill pill there. You don't think about the plumbing. Social media is the plumbing. You think about the relationships and the things that you're doing. And so I believe that the way we've done business since the back in the days when business was done in a small town, social media is making the world a small village and increasing the transparency and the expectations that we have of people to people, people to companies, and employees to employers. And I love to tell stories, so I'm going to have another story for you. When I was a kid, I used to go to this market after school to get a snack. Not every day because I didn't have the money to do it every day. But when I did do it, not only did they know my name when I walked in the store, but they had my Dr. Pepper and cherry pie sitting on the counter waiting for me when I got to the front. And so that is the type of personal connection and relationship that that store vendor had with me. Today, you can do that at scale because people are willing to give you their identity and their information for a more personalized service. It's your job to do your homework before you do that. But the thing is that all these connections and conversations is not about selling. Stop selling, correct. Start serving, help other people grow, and you'll make as much money as you need the rest of your life.
Yeah, I'll be completely frank with you. I didn't know about the term social selling until earlier this year that I went to go work for LinkedIn. Yeah. Because to me, it's sales has always existed. And again, going back to 2008, when I started my business, I used social media in the same way that We all use it today to prospect and to sell. So I see social selling as a term. It's very gimmicky. It's sales leveraging social media to build relationships at the end of the day. Would you agree or disagree?
Sales leveraging social media to sell?
Leveraging social media to build relationships.
Yes. Yes. But I think we have to drop the selling word. I think sales is a four-letter word. Nobody wants to be sold to.
Right? No, absolutely
so,
not.
So I think we have to stop talking about social marketing and social service and social selling and basically just talk about why are you in business? You're in business to help other people grow. And if you focus on that and you reward the people that are your people trying to help other people in your business. And I call it, rather than calling it salespeople, I call them customer success people. And if we reward the customer success people on how many people they help and keep better, smarter, faster, I think that's much better than rewarding them on closing the deal because nobody wants to be bagged and tagged. And so I think we need to change the mentality of selling and change it to serving and helping people grow.
Well, what is selling at the end of the day? It's connecting needs with solutions.
Yeah.
Right. And I love how Bryn Tillman, she said solution engagement could be the new social selling. And that's what it is at the end of the day. It's connecting that need that potential buyer has with the solution. And my opinion is how you get there is by building the relationship. You know, I'll share a story with you guys. You know, I've worked on the brand side for many years now. I get called on a daily basis by very hungry sales reps. And if you approach me on LinkedIn with what appears to be a copy and pasted message, I'm not even responding to you. There is no dialogue that's happening. If you send me an email that gets cascaded from a C-level executive down the chain to me, we're not talking. However, if you try to get to know me as an individual, and really put your best foot forward to understand what my needs are, get to understand my business and what it is that I do and how you can potentially be of value to me, whether now or down the road, and treat me like a person, chances are I will give you my time.
You know, not only will you give them your time, but you'll call them, right?
Yes.
So kill the cold call and add value to somebody's journey to the point where they actually reach out to you. And that's another story that I have. So there is this guy that followed me on Twitter. I would have never seen him because I don't watch all the people that follow me. And are you guys still there? Yeah. It looks like
we are here.
Jagging a little bit. So basically, Nimble told me that this guy started following me because it looks at the DNA of people that matter to me and surfaces people to me that I should be connecting to. And it built a record for him automatically. And I saw that he was a senior vice president and general manager of IBM's mid-market SMB group. And rather than send him a LinkedIn connection, I did what was natural to the connection. He followed me, so I DM'd him back. I direct messaged him and said, hey, John, thanks for the follow. I'd love to learn more about you. And that follow turned into a DM. Then he responded back and said, here's my cell, how's Friday? And so we set up a meeting, had a phone call, and the relationship went from Twitter to a phone, to an email, to a phone call, then to a LinkedIn connection and a series of conversations across back to Twitter and back across over to email. And that's the natural progression of relationships, which resulted in IBM beginning to use Nimble globally and us becoming a business partner with them. And all that happened from a follow. And that's the natural way relationships happen today. Is the only reason he saw me is because he started to bite on the content and the conversation that I was sharing. And he basically joined in that conversation.
I love that you brought up Twitter DM because I think it's such an undervalued place in Twitter. I think we all live in our news feeds and, you know, we go and we engage, which is really great. But I get so many automatic messages in my DM and it's the most frustrating thing, right? And the worst thing is when you follow someone and then you tweet with them and then a day later their automatic DM comes through and you're like, oh, yes. I really liked you, but then you had to send that automatic, right? And I want to touch on your point of just the fact that you DM'd him personally probably made him feel so great, because how many people are personally DMing us, right? Saying, hey, Carlos, I love that you tweeted about that. I mean, I want to learn more. Or, hey, you know, that food that you posted was so great. And I think even the small things these days, because no one is doing them, they become scarcity. Yes. So they actually have this huge impact. And Twitter DM is where I have conversations with so many people that I'm actually very close with. It's a very intimate space to me. It's not, oh, let's move. I mean, usually we just end up meeting in person after that. But Twitter DM is a great place to really establish that connection that you were talking about, John.
Speaking of getting back to the basics, pick up the fucking phone. Right.
I love that you have that phone there. Hold
Pick
on.
Up Let me the get a phone,
screenshot.
Okay?
Wait, can I get a screenshot of this? No, leave the phone. Leave the phone. Awesome. Awesome. Got it.
Okay.
I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna throw a tip out there.
I'm gonna leave you guys for 3 minutes because my battery's done. I gotta grab my charger. So you guys keep going.
No worries.
No worries.
Yeah, so I'm gonna throw a tip out there that I practice on how to humanize social media. And that's two things. One, anyone that follows you throughout the day on Twitter, look and see who's following you. Actually take the time and see who these individuals are and either follow them back and proceed to send them a direct message or send them a tweet and acknowledge them. Just say thank you for following.
Yeah, what I always do is I look at sort of their profile picture. I look at their banner. I look at their info. And I either say like, oh, hey, like, I love that picture. I'm into photography too. Or, oh, I like that little quote you have in your info. Or I go and I find like a piece of content in their stream that I retweet or I comment on. So I try to engage with them and show them like, oh, I noticed that you followed me and I want to engage with you. Hey, Anthony, how are you?
It's like, good. How are you? Hey, Carlos, Anthony, nice happened? To meet you, by the way. We haven't officially met.
Likewise.
Right, so I'm going to run and change my profile picture, Saba, because I want to make sure it's like friendly enough. It's not like, going to freak you out or something like that. But I think it's all great. Hey, just and by the way, thank you for letting me in. Saba knows how I think. You know, I think I've been listening for like the last 10 minutes or so, and I'm listening to John. And, you know, I'm going to be blunt here. I think the most valuable thing he said was him picking up the phone, because at the end of the day, it's about starting a conversation and making a connection. And I think the sound of somebody's voice is so authentic and so clear that it penetrates any digital media that you have. Now, hold on before you respond, is that once you make that vocal connection or that visual connection, then you could start leveraging the DMs and leveraging the blabs and the periscopes and the emails. But I think that visceral feeling that you get when you hear someone's voice, or when you look up here in the eyes, just makes a big difference. You know, Carlos, I had a chance to look at one of your speeches, by the way. And, you know, I think you're a good speaker. But, you know, you notice the difference when you're up there and you're looking at people in an audience, right? Like, So you've made a visual connection with them. I know as a speaker, you always want to make a connection. But I think the most important thing is you have to make that audible or visual connection with that person first. And whether you like it or not, the cold call will absolutely never die, because I like hearing someone's voice. I like seeing someone's picture because it's personal, right? And social is about being personal. And the only thing I would say to John's point, John, welcome back, is that you have to use that to scale it. And the problem is that people have not found the right tool to scale all the warm and fuzzy stuff, right? Blab is sort of like the next chapter. So other than people like myself or Carlos running around the country doing speaking engagements, right, trying to make it personal, how do you scale social media, right? How do you scale that visceral connection? I think that's sort of like the burning question that people have. So I just wanted to share, you know, my thoughts on that. So, John, nice to meet you. I knew you walked away. I'm surprised you have an old-fashioned phone. I'm very proud of you, by the way, that you have one.
Well,
I think there's 10 of us that have those.
How do you communicate in a house? I'm sorry. If you've got a house that has more than N number of rooms and you've got to basically reach somebody in another part, what are you going to do? You're going to walk down like I just did to another part of the house? Go. It's like, you know, it's like if I want to talk to somebody, I can go like that. And I can say, hey, Chela, ¿qué pasó? So you got to be able to communicate, you know? And so you need to be able to.
Real-time demos. I love it.
You need to be able to communicate on whatever tool that's effective for the people you're communicating with. And that's why I say when you're on a conversation on GoToMeeting, turn the fucking camera on.
Yeah.
Okay? I agree. Because people connect with their faces and their eyeballs, yes. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so what that's you one of my biggest do. Pet peeves is when someone says, oh, let's have a Skype call, and I get super excited. And I'm like, okay, yeah, like I get ready. I'm a girl, of course. I get ready. And then they're like, oh, we're just going to do audio.
Like, no, no.
As they say in Shark Tank, I'm out then. I wouldn't do that. You know, I had a really interesting conversation. I had a chance to meet Mitch Jackson.
Love it, man.
We always see visual. Mitch is a great guy. Mitch, you're awesome, dude. You're just a great guy. I got called to do a speaking engagement for attorneys. Say prayers for me. So I needed some advice and thoughts, and I thought of Mitch because not because he's an attorney in the social media space, but we had a genuine, you know, call it a great connection. So when we actually talked on the phone, I just imagined him, what he looked like, and it's a more pleasing and welcoming conversation. So you know, to my point. And John, you said it. Carlos, I don't know you, but I get the feeling you feel the same way. And Saba, right. I don't have to explain anything to you. You know me. I just think it's a matter of once you start that conversation, whether it be an audible or a visual, then you can think about how do you scale that. So I think that's the burning question. How do you scale and grow a business, right, based on those two premises? Because this thing, this great, you know, my laptop, my iPhone, my iPad, my whatever I have is never going to replace me reaching my hand out to Carlos and feeling, you know, the power of his handshake.
It's never going to. You have a firm handshake.
You know, but it's you know, call me old school. I mean, but I just relationship.
Well, like I said before, it's old school principles with new school technology, yes, right? Absolutely. So social media is not going to replace face-to-face at all. No. And you talked about scale before. You know, let's put it into context. There is no overnight success.
It takes time to build. Gary Vee.
There is no overnight success. It takes time. Yeah. It really takes time. Okay. And to your point, if you see someone, that's what I said before. When someone follows me personally, I look at every single person that follows me.
Sure.
Every single day I see who's been viewing my LinkedIn profile. Yeah. And if I see that there's potential synergy there, I will reach out to you personally.
Absolutely.
And I'll say, hey, Carlos, Anthony, thank you so much for following me. You know, thank you for connecting. Thank you for seeing my profile.
Carlos, even that doesn't scale. Because if you're listening to what we've said over the past hour, and we've said, if you want to build a sustainable community around you and your business, you need to inspire and educate, do what I call the 5 E's of social business. Educate, enchant, engage, embrace, and empower your customers. And you do that by giving your knowledge away so they see you as a trusted advisor. Your signals, your plus one likes, comments, retweets, and otherwise engagement is going to get busier than your inbox. How's your fucking inbox these days? Mine is a slaughterhouse. And so are my signals. I cannot see all the people that are connecting with me. That's why we need help. There's a Dunbar limit. It says that you can only manage 100 to 200 people in your head, and we need help with that because we're overconnected and overcommunicated. And that's why I got in this business to start with, because I got thrown in the sales trench and I basically couldn't manage relationships. And so I built something that helped me do that called Goldmine. Turned out that there are millions of people around the world that have the same problem. Today, I'm building another tool because I saw 5 years ago the emergence of social, how it's going to change the way we connect, and we cannot manage them. And Carlos, I admire the fact that you look.
You got to find a way. Carlos, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
The last 5 speaking engagements you did, right? The last 5, they were all, I'm sure you connected them through social media, but I'm sure the deal was done when you shook their hand physically. I'm sure you met them in person. Tell me that.
Are you saying with the event organizer or with the people that were in the audience?
The people that really made the deal, that solidified the deal. You met them in person. You had some physical interaction with them, whether it be through video or you met them in person. It wasn't done through Twitter. It wasn't done through email. It was basically done through an in-person meeting. Because
Before you answer the question.
No. But those in-person meetings would never be as personal if the relationship wasn't initiated and deepened in the beginning in the digital way, because there's no way you would have ever met that person. The only reason why I've met many of the people that I am today connecting with globally was through content, conversation, and then community. And then once we do meet and hug and look each other in the eye and tickle each other's soul, like
Brian, don't be poking, buddy. Gary, now I told with the hug there. When I met Simon,
he went to me like this and said, "Chills." He showed
my point is, I agree with you, John. I'm not disagreeing. I'm thinking in terms of true deep connections. You know, let's not go wide and shallow. Let's go narrow and deep. I know that's a cheeky term, but you got to go deep. And whether it's with 5 people or 10 people, those are the people. You know, it's the 80. I'm sorry, guys. It's the 80-20 rule. You know, 80% of your business is going from 20% of your customers. And it's going to be those 5 people. You got to hammer down those 5 people, take them out to dinner, take them out to coffee, take them out to lunch, fly to meet them, handshake, meet them. Because I'm telling you now, to scale, you have to have that in-person connection. I'm giving Carlos the best.
Nobody's disagreeing with you.
My philosophy, guys, is you always have to be planting seeds.
Every day.
And wide as well. You got to keep planting seeds. You got to water those seeds, and you have to be focusing on multiple industries. You can't just focus on one vertical, right? Because everyone in your industry is probably calling on that one vertical.
Right.
Okay, we're getting close to 7 p.m. So I actually, Anthony, I want to thank you, and I really appreciate you calling in. I want to rotate the seat, get one more guest in.
I'm getting out. Thank you,
Shava. Of course.
All right, Anthony, we'll be in touch. You got it.
We have the seat open for like 30 minutes, and then at the last 10 minutes, everyone wants to come in. That always happens.
So I just want to follow up with one idea that I find is a great way to build real personal connections with people is when you meet with another person, and I highly encourage taking these digital relationships to a human connection and meet them in person. Don't do it from behind a desk. Take these people for a walk and get to know them outside physically rather than sitting behind a desk in a sort of a more of a business conversation. Hey, Mitch.
John, answer the damn phone. Answer the damn phone, John.
You don't have my number, man. You got to call my number.
Oh, there you are. What is this thing? What's going on, guys?
I want to reference Hotline Bling so bad right now.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, guys. First of all, if anyone has any tips to help get the video on a nice, crystal, brand new laptop to work correctly, I would like some tips on a MacBook Air because I don't like the way the video is. Here's the thing. Everything you guys have been talking about, both before I broke away for dinner and came back, if everybody did what the three of you are doing, I mean, literally the three of you could write a book. I mean, with John's experience in building businesses, in contact management, in relationships, in scaling, Saba, your personality, your ability to connect with people just like that, the way you're going to tomorrow night at Danny Hills High School. John, she's an alum of my kid's high school, just so you know. That's how we know each other.
You know what? I think it's so boss that young people like Saba and Brian Fanzo and other people out there who are showing the world that millennials kick fucking ass, right?
And they can I toast that? Let me toast that right here. Hey, here we go.
They can teach the old farts new tricks. I dig it. And
give you more energy, John? It gives you more energy. It gives me more energy throughout the course of the day. But I wasn't done. I was going to say, and Carlos, I love what you're doing, buddy. I mean, everything you're doing on social, I tell other lawyers, watch what these guys are doing. I mean, John, earlier today, and I didn't talk to you ahead of time about this, but I gave Nimble a shout out because I believe in your platform. I like the way, you know, but I like what your platform does. Saba and I have spent time. We spend time with you. That's right. At Linked OC. Not at Linked OC, but at their offices. We spent time with you. And Carlos and I are going to spend time together. It's just a matter of connecting. And I'm telling everybody that's watching this, you do what Carlos is doing. Do what Saba's doing. Do what John's doing and use Nimble. And it all comes together. I mean, it's huge. John, I last week I was on a show. I got off. I nimbled somebody, connected with somebody, and was interviewed by the New York Times. And it's because of Nimble. And I don't know if the article is going to be pro or con. I'm going to find out in about a week. But it was because of a connection that I made through a secondary connection that I discovered on the Nimble platform that allowed me to reach out and have him call me. And, you know, what, I don't know what the ROI on that is, but I have a feeling it's going to be pretty damn good. In fact, I'm going to raise my elbow to it, right? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mitch, and Saba and Carlos and Brian and Bryn and everybody out there, Mia, who continue to
Boys and Girls Club.
Remind me to tell you about my son's Eagle Scout thing that he did at the Boy Scouts at the Boys and Girls Club. That are powering our team to continue to do what we do. I love the fact I'm looking out here on the stream and I actually see our Nimble team listening and participating in this conversation. I'll tell you what, you guys, it makes my day that we can help other people achieve their passion, plan, and purpose by building these connections and using our tool to do it. So sincerely, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. And with that, you know, we're going to wrap up Social 545. Bitch, thank you for stopping by.
Then, Big Carlos, thank you're you such a buzzkill, buddy.
I got to go watch a football game and watch UCLA kick some cow butt.
You know what? I hope you guys do better than you did against Stanford. That's all I'm going to say. Dude, McCaffrey was the exemplary. I've never seen anybody do that before. That was.
Oh, God. Stanford was amazing.
Let me run a name by you real quick, Carlos. John, do you know Judge Tom Garza? Do you know the Garza family? Hardcore UCLA alums?
No.
He's a judge out in San Bernardino. He and his wife, Donna Garza and Tom Garza, are judges. Tom's father, Tino, was the president of the UCLA Booster Club, the first Latino to graduate from the UCLA Law School. Tom also is hard. He's probably at the game right now, but we were talking about the Stanford game. And I'm telling you, he was like, oh, my God, who is this guy? I mean, if you guys watch the game, this kid put on a show.
Now, I have to say that UCLA has had some major injuries on defense, as well as some people going to the NFL. But that being said, it doesn't take away what Stanford did. But all I can say is we're going to make it up by kicking USC's butt.
John, a parting note, where can the viewers out there connect with you and learn more about Nimble?
So connect with me on Twitter. It's the easiest, simplest way. I'm JON_Ferrara, FERRARA. And Nimble is nimble.com. Connect with our Twitter identity. Please let us know how we can help you grow. We're powered by your guys' success. And Saba, thank you. Carlos, it's really a pleasure to finally meet you in person. I look forward to meeting you face-to-face, mano a mano, and giving you a big squeeze, brother.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being an amazing guest with us here on Social 545. And thank you, the Blab community, for tuning in once again with Saba and I. And with that, I will turn it over to you, Saba.
I just want to thank everyone who joined us tonight, including John, including all of our guests. It's been so much fun. I mean, I learned so much. I've heard John speak before, but every time you speak to someone, because you're constantly learning and you're constantly, you know, changing the way you see the world, you learn something different. So keep learning, keep being, I don't want to say social, but keep making connections and engaging with the right people. We'll see you guys next week at 5:45. I linked up the show for next week. Please subscribe. We'll be here same time with a new guest delivering value for you guys.
Adios.
We're signing off.
You've been listening to Social 545. Be sure to tune in weekly to stay in the know of what's trending in social media.